This is a weekly summary of news about women and women's issues and from women's perspectives, which comes to you from the weekly Cheers and Jeers column of the Women's E! News. I'm Nancy Casey. First, the good news. Cheers for ABC News, which named Diane Sawyer to succeed Charles Gibson as anchor of World News Tonight, that announcement on September 2nd. When Sawyer takes on this new role in January, two of the three major networks' evening news broadcast will be anchored by women, a first in television history. Sawyer also made history as the first female correspondent for 60 Minutes in 1984. ABC News President David Weston said in a press statement, quote, "Diane Sawyer is the right person to succeed Charlie and build on what he has accomplished. She has an outstanding and varied career in television journalism," unquote. Sawyer's promotion follows the July 28th release of the Radio Television News Directors Association's annual survey, which found more females working in the industry. Women now hold more than 41% of TV news jobs and 29% of TV news director positions, both record highs. More news to cheer this week. On the heels of the Women's E! News August 31st cover story about insurance coverage of prenatal care, Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius and Representative Chelly Pingree, a Democrat from Maine, held a roundtable discussion on September 3rd with executives from the Maine's Women's Lobby and the American Association of Retired Persons. They called the session to address the impact that health care reform will have on women and seniors. Sebelius told the audience that because women live longer than men, they are less likely to have pensions, they are more likely to be hit harder by medical costs when they're older. She said, quote, "The goal is in the new marketplace, in a health insurance exchange, to hold down costs, to have some competition, and to provide choice. These are all free market principles," unquote. Sebelius's visit to Maine was also regarded as an effort to secure support for President Obama's plan from Senator Olympia Snow, a Republican of Maine, who is viewed as the only Republican willing to consider to making the public option a part of health care reform. Cheers for the Feminist Majority Foundation, which held a press conference on August 28th in support of Leroy Carhart, the Nebraska doctor who has followed in George Tiller's footsteps by publicly acknowledging that he performs late-term abortions. After facing death threats for many years, Tiller was gunned down on May 31st in Kansas. Feminist Majority Foundation President Eleanor Smeal said, quote, "The constant vilifying of reproductive health providers as murderers is not only inflammatory, but it is also contrary to established medical practices that save women's lives. Worse yet, it emboldens potential assassins," unquote. But the vandalism attacks and death threats don't faze Carhart, who said, quote, "The only thing I can do is just train as many doctors as I can to go out on their own and provide abortions and get enough people providing them. Abortion is not a four-letter word," unquote. Carhart was a plaintiff in two cases challenging Nebraska's abortion laws, cases which resulted in two very different Supreme Court rulings on so-called partial birth abortion. Cheers for the record 54 women winning seats in Japan's general election on August 30th. The Democratic Party of Japan scored a historic victory against the long-ruling Liberal Democratic Party by fielding a high-profile group of female candidates to take on elderly ruling party members. Singer-turned-songwriter Ai Aoki said, quote, "It is very significant that I won in a constituency that was symbolic for the coalition government," unquote. A total of 229 women competed for seats in the 480-member chamber. This also set a new record. And cheers for Martha Coakley, who on September 3rd became the first candidate to announce a bid for Ted Kennedy's former Senate seat. The Massachusetts Attorney General has been quietly putting together her probable Senate campaign over the past year. Many other possible candidates have been waiting to see what Joseph P. Kennedy III, the late senator's nephew, does before entering the race. Coakley said, quote, "I've always sort of run my life and run my career and not worry too much about what other people are doing," unquote. She said she can campaign for higher office without neglecting her current duties, adding, "I have been and will remain involved in the major decisions." Now for the bad news. Election monitors and women's activists in Afghanistan said a combination of fear, tradition, and apathy, as well as poor planning, conspired to deprive many women from participating in the August 20th presidential election. Across Afghanistan, some of the segregated female polling rooms were nearly empty. Many educated women who had voted or worked at polling stations in previous elections chose not to take the risk in this election. Afghan resident Soraya Sobrang explains, quote, "Things are reverting, and it's because of a mix of insecurity, economy, and culture. When security was better, women could participate in public life, and the new constitution gave them political rights. But then the attack started, and all their new rights came under threat, and nothing really changed in their lives," unquote. Some activists said the Election Day chill signified a wider setback for Afghan women, with an increase in domestic violence and the Taliban continuing to shut down hundreds of girls' schools. More news to jeer this week. The military coup in Honduras has eroded democratic institutions and hard-fought gains in women's rights, this according to members of Feminist Transgressional Watch. This group of journalists, human rights legal experts, and activists visited Honduras in mid-August to assess reported human rights violations and observe strategies to resist the coup, which occurred on June 28th. Since June 28th, there have been 51 cases of femicide, the systematic killing of women, as well as a growing number of attacks such as verbal abuse and gang rape. Human rights lawyer Alda Facio described the situation as an undeclared war against women, but female residents and activists continue to hold peaceful marches opposing Roberto Micheletti's regime. And jeers to the Ohio Supreme Court, which ruled on August 27th that a state law banning discrimination against pregnant women does not protect new mothers who take unauthorized breaks to use a breast pump. In a 5-1 ruling, justices said outerwear manufacturer Totes Isotoner was within its rights to fire Lanisa Allen for sneaking off to pump her breasts an hour before her scheduled break. The court did not rule on whether the pregnancy law covers new mothers who are lactating, saying that Allen missed her chance to put that question to the test by not seeking an accommodation. Kelly Copeland, director of NARAL Pro-Choice Idaho, told the Columbus Dispatch that, quote, "If a woman chooses to breastfeed, we as a society should do whatever we can to accommodate her, regardless of what the law may say," unquote. And jeers for the way that a nun's stance on women's ordination has led to her receiving an ultimatum from the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. Archbishop Daniel E. Pilarczyk told Sister of Charity Louise Akers in an August 10th meeting to publicly disassociate herself from the issue of women's ordination if she wants to continue making any presentations or teaching for credit at any archdiocesan-related institution. Akers told the National Catholic Reporter on August 31st, quote, "For 4 decades I have devoted my ministry to advocating on behalf of the marginalized through religious congregations, justice organizations, ecumenical and interfaith groups. Women's ordination is a justice issue. Its basis is in the value, dignity, and equality of women. I believe this to my very core. To publicly state otherwise would be a lie and a violation of my conscience," unquote. And jeers for the results of a report released on September 2nd by the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives, which found that efforts to address poverty in Canada, especially the, quote, "shockingly high rates suffered by many women," seem to have been sidelined by the recession. The report urged federal and provincial governments to rework their initiatives for coping with the recession and to pay particular attention to women struggling to raise children on their own. Monica Townsend, a research associate at the center, said, quote, "Child poverty seems to win political points, but Canadian governments are ignoring the very real and private struggle of women on their own who are living in poverty," unquote. The report cited raising the minimum wage, increasing welfare payments, boosting the supplement for single seniors, and seeking more funding for child care as possible solutions to the problems that women face. And this week, we also note that women's rights groups and labor unions voiced their displeasure over Italian Parliament's ratification of a new law that ended discrimination in the retirement age between men and women. Until recently, female employees could retire at age 60, 5 years earlier than their male counterparts. This double standard was based on the consideration that women also take care of the home and family. This law will only apply to 3.5 million female government employees, but other officials have vowed to extend this policy to the private sector. Union leader Renata Polverini told the Christian Science Monitor on September 1st that instead of changing the pension system, quote, the government should have improved services helping female workers, such as daycare for children and the elderly, unquote. Meanwhile, economic expert Tanya Mastroboni felt that this change was overdue, saying she found it, quote, odd that unions and women's groups are defending the old system based on the assumption that the women's primary duty is to take care of the house, even if she works outside, unquote. We also note a study conducted by a University of New Mexico professor, which indicated that female managers are more than 3 times as likely as their male counterparts to underestimate how their bosses would rate their job performance. Scott Taylor, an assistant professor of organizational studies, said, quote, women have imposed their own glass ceiling, and the question is, why? People were asked to rate themselves in 9 elements of emotional and social competence essential to leadership. These were communication ability, initiative, self-awareness, self-control, empathy, bond building, teamwork, conflict management, and trustworthiness. The men who were studied slightly overestimated how their bosses would rate them, while the female respondents underestimated their ratings on an average by about 11%. Taylor said that his research may explain the wage disparity between men and women. We also note that the Iranian parliament approved 18 out of 21 of President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's proposed cabinet ministers on September 3rd, including the country's first female minister in 30 years. Marzia Vahid Dasterjadi was named health minister, and she has been described as taking an important step for women, even though she has drawn controversy for advocating gender segregation in the nation's hospital. Ahmadinejad's other 2 female nominees, Susan Keshvarez and Fatima Arjoulou, fell short of the number of votes needed to lead the education and welfare and social security agencies. These news briefs were compiled by Latrice Davis, a freelance journalist based in New York and a Women's E-News correspondent. Rita Henley Jensen is the editor-in-chief. This audio production of Women's E-News was produced in the studios of KRFP in Moscow, Idaho, and brought to you by VP Foundation and Yin Radio, which you can find on the web at vpfound.org. Background music is by Joan Hickey. The text of this broadcast and more news about women can be found at the Women's E-News website, womensenews.org. For Yin Radio and KRFP, I'm Nancy Casey.